All right, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We've been in this series of discipleship for a few weeks, and not exactly sure how long this will go. But we've discussed already, and probably once or twice actually, you know, what is the essence of real discipleship? And discipleship is really a matter of surrender and a matter of obedience to the Lord. We cannot be disciples on our own terms. In order to be a follower of Christ and a disciple of Christ, it has to be on His terms and according to His will and to His plan. And so discipleship really is a matter of surrender to whatever the Lord would ask of us, and it's a matter of obedience to whatever the Lord commands of us. And that is the essence of discipleship. And as servants, as disciples, as followers, we don't really have the right to pick and to choose whatever the Master says. Discipleship, in essence, is submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and obedience to Him. And we don't have the right to pick and choose, but so often that's what happens as mortals, as sinful people, even with a heart that desires to serve God and love God, we have a tendency at times, to argue with God about what His will is and if we're going to submit to it or not. I want you to look with me in Exodus chapter 3 here. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14, then we're going to skip over to chapter 4 and read a good portion of chapter 4. And tonight we're going to talk about God's answer, I suppose, to the excuses that Moses gave to God when God called him and told him clearly what He wanted him to do. And so we're going to discuss this, the excuses of Moses here tonight, make some applications as well. Beginning in verse 11, and Moses said unto God, verse 10 says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, is there any confusion as to what God wanted Moses to do? No, it was very clear. God said, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you right into the lion's den, as it were, and you are going to bring my people out of Egypt." Verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." Skip over to chapter 4, in verse 1. "And Moses answered and said, But, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Now, we've read a lot of verses here, and in all of these verses we find the Lord again reaffirming to Moses exactly what he wanted him to do, but we find Moses arguing with God. Not immediate obedience unto the Lord, but arguing with the Lord as to why he can't do what God wants him to do. Again, was the command of the Lord, was it confusing? Was there any kind of misunderstanding as to what God wanted him to do? No, it was very clear in verse 10. When God appeared to him in that burning bush, the call of God came clear. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to bring my people out. The word of the Lord was made very clear, and the way it was going to be done was also made very clear. Remember how the Lord said, when they ask you, you say, I am hath sent you. Not only what God wanted him to do, but how it was going to be done was also made very clear. And you know, sometimes that's true with us. You'd think that it was finished at that point. Okay, God told me what to do. He even showed me how it's going to be done. Now it's just a matter of doing. It's done. You'd think so. But often all is not done, even when the will of God is known and the way of God is plainly indicated as well. Often all is not done. Why? Well, because so many times people are apt to look to themselves for the proper feelings when it comes to the will of God. You know? Well, I just don't feel like this is possible. I don't like feel like that's you know, like I'm adequate, and I don't feel like, well, they're looking for the proper feelings and the proper fitness to accomplish the good will of God when God has already clearly said, this is what I want you to do, and this is how it's going to be done. Do you know that God has a difficulty? What? Is there something difficult for God? The only difficulty that God has is to get his servants to believe that he is able to do, to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not God's problem when things don't get done. It's our problem. The only difficulty is that, I mean, God already has it taken care of. The only difficulty is getting us to believe that he is capable, he's able to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, we see here in this passage that Moses offered several excuses as to why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And that is not the proper position of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, arguing, making excuses with God. So I want to just look at a few of these. First of all, the first excuse that Moses gave to the Lord was his own unworthiness. Here, look at verse 11. So verse 10, God made it clear what his will was. And verse 11, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Here is his first concern. his first concern is that he's a nobody, and therefore he's unqualified to do what God told him to do. Well, if we look at Moses prior to this, this attitude that he gives, or this statement of who am I, it's a big change from the kind of person that we see Moses in chapter 2. If you look over to chapter 2, look at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Here's Moses intervening. Here's Moses stepping in, putting himself out there. And he's saying, "Hey, look," you know, he's trying to, in his own power, deliver his people, killed an Egyptian. And then he's trying to rule over them in the next verse. What a big change when we get to chapter 3. And God says, "Okay, Moses, I want you to go and free my people." And Moses says, "Well, who am I, Lord, that I should go into Pharaoh?" Well, we know that Moses went and kept the sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And during that time, Moses needed some humbling, certainly. And he surely learned it all of those years in keeping those sheep. But what Moses says here to God of, "Who am I that I," that's not humility here that Moses is offering to the Lord. That's not humility at all, and it's an excuse. Let me make this application. When it comes to serving the Lord, you know what? It's good for us to know and own our unworthiness. That's a good thing, that we're not capable. And we begin to see our unworthiness when we come face to face with God, as Moses was. But you know what? Our unworthiness is a really bad excuse for not obeying the Lord when he's given a command. It's a really bad excuse when the Lord has given and made his will known. You know what? We may feel inadequate for some task. And honestly, I admit it, I do at times. I don't feel adequate to do what God has commanded me to do. But you know what? That doesn't matter a lick how I feel when the Lord has said what he wants and how it's going to be done. Are you with me? God's not concerned about my feelings on the subject. He said, just obey. We need to understand the full importance of the work that God has given each of us to do. Church member, we could make application all over the place with this principle here, but one that comes to mind immediately is God's command to you and to me to be a witness for Christ. The purpose of membership, one of the main purposes of membership in a local New Testament church, to be a witness for Christ. That's the command that God has given. And we could say something like, "Well, you know, who am I? I don't really know that much, and you know, I'm a nobody, and it's you know, I'd like to be, but it's easier for me to just pray for people to be saved and not actually commit to being a witness for Christ ourselves." Listen, yes, we need to pray, but we also need to speak and to be a witness for Christ. You know what God's response to Moses was when he said, "Lord, who am I?" He said, "It's not about you, Moses. You say, 'I am,' hath sent you." You don't go in your authority. You don't go under your power. You go in the authority of God. Amen. It's the same when it comes to being a witness for Christ. We have the Lord's authority, Christ's authority to preach the gospel of Christ. Listen, our witness for the Lord, it shouldn't begin and end with Great Commission Day. Well, I'm a witness for Christ once a month, last Saturday of the month. That's when I'm a witness for Christ. Hey, our witness for Christ should not begin and end with Great Commission Day. It needs to be daily. It needs to be built into our daily life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, being willing and surrendered and obedient to the command of Christ. Don't say, "Who am I? I can't." I was just talking to a man tonight. He said he almost got fired from his job because at the end of that whole conversation, the conclusion was, "You can't say anything about God. You can't speak about your religion, and basically you can't speak the name of Jesus Christ, or you're going to be fired." You know, we would say, well, that's not the case on my job. It happens to be on this particular man's job, and that could be a fearful thing. Oh, can't say a word now, otherwise I'm going to get fired. Somebody could say, well, you know, I want to be a witness for Christ, no witness to my coworkers, but I could never witness to my boss. Don't say, "Who am I? I can't." Amen? It's not about our inadequacy. It's not about our authority. We go under the authority of Jesus Christ. Moses made that kind of an excuse. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the known world at the time? And God said, "I want you to go stand right before him. And you say, 'I am, has sent you.'" His own unworthiness was not a good excuse for not obeying the command of the Lord. Here's his second. Go look in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 4. We won't take the time to read all of this again, but particularly verse 1 of chapter 4. "And Moses answered and said, 'But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" Here's his second excuse, the incredulity of the people. "Oh, the people aren't going to listen to me. They're not going to believe me that I've talked to you and that you've sent me." Well, the Lord goes on to say, "Okay, Moses, it's not about you, and it's not about what you say." Verse 2, the Lord simply ignores what Moses said, basically, and says, "What's in your hand?" "Well, it's a rod. Throw it down." He throws it down, and it turns into a serpent, and Moses runs and hides. And then God says, "Pick it up again." And what happened to it? It turned back into a rod. Here's a rod that turns into a serpent. Then he says, "Put your hand in your cloak." And he puts his hand in his coat, and it comes out white as snow, leprosy. And God says, if they don't believe that, then they're going to believe in this. If they don't believe that, then the water is going to be turned into blood. And if they don't believe that, there's going to be more. His supply is inexhaustible. And the idea that he's presenting here to Moses, the answer that he gives, is, listen, Moses, it's not about you and what you say. It's about my divine power. That is what is going to make the people believe. We could give that excuse. "Well, people aren't going to listen to me." You know what? You're right. They're not going to listen to you. But if you're walking with the Lord and you're Spirit-led and filled with the Spirit of God, people are compelled to listen unto the God that is in you and His Word. It's not about what you say. It's not about what I say. It's about His divine power that works in somebody's heart and life. What is our job? Don't measure people about whether or not they're going to listen or believe. Just obey, amen, and give the truth. God has an answer for Moses for every single one of his excuses. But here's the thing. God shouldn't have to give an answer for the excuse. As a disciple of Christ, it ought to be, "Lord, yes, Lord. This is what you've commanded. This is what I'll do. I'll trust you. I'll be obedient. We skip on down to verse 10. We see another excuse here that Moses gives. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Here's his third excuse. It's the infirmities of his body was his reason why he couldn't do what the Lord commanded him to do. He said, Lord, not before this time or after this time has I ever, yeah, see, I'm slow of tongue too. Have I ever been able to speak well? I speaks good. I don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe Moses had a speech impediment. I don't know. Maybe he stuttered. Who knows exactly what it was? But whatever it was, he used it as an excuse for not doing the will of God. And it wasn't acceptable with the Lord. I think many are like Moses. They come up with all kinds of reasons, infirmities of their body, maybe. Maybe it's age. I'm too old. I'm too old to do that, Lord. I'm too old to make this kind of a change. That's too dramatic and too drastic for me. I gave my time. Maybe some people, I don't make enough money. It's income. I could never do that. I couldn't afford to live this way or that way. Maybe it's education. I don't know very much. Listen, whatever the holdup is, whatever your infirmity is, if you have one, God was well aware of it before he called you to do what he wants you to do. It's not about how good or bad or skilled we are. It's not about what we know. It's not about how clever we are and how skillful we are with what we can say. It's not about those things. Listen, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's when we're strong, when we understand, hey, I may not feel adequate, but it doesn't matter. I may not be a good speaker. I may not be this, or I might be too old and I don't have the strength, but God said, do it, and he's going to glorify himself in my life. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Listen, it's not our infirmities. It's our unbelief that hinders in the work of the Lord. It's not our infirmities, our inabilities. It's our unbelief that keeps us at times from doing what God has commanded us to do. You know, we can make that application when it comes to witnessing as well. I don't speak well. No one's going to listen to me. It's not my inabilities or my infirmities. It's my unbelief that keeps me from being obedient and speaking for Christ. That's really what it was with Moses. Excuse after excuse. But you know what it really boiled down to? Verse 12 and verse 13. Here God says again to Moses, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And look what he said. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Here's his fourth excuse, and here's what it really boiled down to. Here's the unwillingness of Moses' mind. Here is proof after proof and reassurance after reassurance. And still Moses said, Lord, you just send somebody else. The unwillingness of his mind. This is what it really boiled down to. Moses was not willing at this moment to be obedient to the Lord. But you know what? Moses' unwillingness, that didn't turn God aside from accomplishing his purpose. Because the reality of it is, if Moses didn't obey God would raise up another. If one will not obey, God will always raise up another because he will accomplish his purpose. What does an unwillingness and an unyieldedness to the will of God accomplish? Well, it doesn't defeat the work of God, actually. What it does is actually rob us of the blessing that God wanted for us. You see that? God is going to accomplish his will one way or another. But he chooses to use you and me. He chooses to enable us and empower us to do his will. And when we simply obey, we reap the rewards and the blessings of it. When we're unwilling to yield to God. And maybe God would ask something that just seems so drastic, so much change in my life. Maybe he would ask that of us. We could come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons why, well, that's not a good idea. And we only rob ourselves of the great blessing that God wants to give to us. Well, I can't witness to that person. I can't witness to my boss. I couldn't do that. When we have a chance to experience the measure, a greater measure of God's power, a greater measure of God's grace in my life. And yeah, I need to step out by faith. And yeah, maybe I feel inadequate and I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know the Lord said to do it and I'm going to do it by faith. And when we step out by faith, all of a sudden, boom. Oh, we see the grace of God and we see a greater measure of the power of God and we see the Spirit of God giving control. Have you ever experienced that before? You're standing there witnessing to somebody and it's just like stuff is just coming out that you didn't think of, but it's the Spirit of God that's putting it on your tongue. It's the Spirit of God that's bringing it back to your mind. Scriptures that maybe you didn't even know you knew. The Spirit of God just giving exactly what this person needs. And then you walk away from that thrilled, overjoyed. Wow. What a blessing to be used of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're in blank stares. If you do, you could say, amen, pastor, yes. You could even do it with your eyes. They could get a little bigger, a little more excited looking. That would tell me that there's life there. It's a thrill and a joy to be used of God. The problem is that sometimes we're just unwilling to change. We're unwilling to yield. And we rob ourselves of the blessing God wants for us. Listen, if God wants you for a mouthpiece, don't turn him away. If he wants more dedication out of you, don't hold on to excuses. The bottom line is this, my friends. God wants to use you. That's the bottom line. And he wants to glorify himself in it, and he wants to bless you in it, and he wants to thrill your soul through it. Oh, it's so scary. Oh, there's so much. I don't know if I could do that. He's already done it. We just simply have to say, okay. Well, I don't know how this is going to work out, and I don't know how if that would work out, and there's just so much. It's easier to not do anything. Well, we just rob ourselves of what God wants to bless us with. He wants to use us. Listen, it needs to be our heart's desire to serve him at all cost, no matter what he may ask of us, no matter what kind of task it is, no matter how hard it seems, and no matter how much change it might bring into our life and the lives of others. I want to serve him. He said, do this. I don't need to figure it out. I just need to obey. He's already done it. Amen. You don't need to make excuses. We just need to obey God. That is the essence of true discipleship. As our Lord, as our Master, does He not have the right to tell us what to do? We don't have the right to argue like Moses did. Let's be committed, determined to surrender to obedience. And let's go and let's do what God has commanded us to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the encouragement in Your word. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be a people just committed. No matter how impossible the task seems. And there are things that do seem impossible and are impossible in the flesh. But if You've commanded us, then You've already taken care of it. We simply need to be yielded and let You do of Your good pleasure. And I can imagine, and I have many times, how impossible it seems for a small little church like ours to reach native villages in Alaska. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I know You've called us and commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And You've given us the authority of Jesus Christ and His power. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to not look at the monumental task or the impossibilities or the logistics or all of those things, but take some steps of faith, trusting that You'll lead and guide all the way, and that Your will would be done. The same principles apply in individual lives. Someone may be faced with choices, decisions, and they're pretty sure they know what the Lord has told them to do. But it's easy to make excuses as to why we can't. Our inabilities. Our inability to speak, or the finances, or this, or that, or whatever. Lord, I pray that You just help us to, by faith, step out in obedience and watch You work. See a demonstration of Your divine power. And Father, may glory be given to the Lord through Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.